16th Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. First reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherd who mislead and scatter the flock of my pastures, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them. But I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the land to which I have driven them, and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them, so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. The second reading, from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 13 to 18. Brother and sister, in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing one of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. And to him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 34. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, sharing first the theme. Jesus brings hope in despair. In life, there is time when people feel insecure, fear, and despair because they have to face so many pressure. Such as tension, division, hatred, and war. God wants people to put a complete trust and hope in Him, and in Christ, who is the hope of all people and the resolution of all problems of life. Today's reading illustrates God's wonderful providence. Wherever had weariness and despair, there are hope and God's wonderful resolution. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah reported the danger of irresponsible shepherds. They mislead and scattered the sheep, and the hope to help the good shepherd who shall come to gather the sheep and to care for them. In the second reading, the author of the letter to the Ephesians reported the enmity between people and God, between the Jews and the Gentiles, and the hope that Christ's cross shall reconcile the enmities. In the Gospel, Mark reported that even the apostles overworked. They could not solve all people's needs. Jesus told them to find a place to rest. He himself shall teach and care for people. Analysis, the first reading. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands. Third point, the danger of irresponsible shepherds. In every generation, there always exist irresponsible shepherds who don't fulfill their duty, as Jeremiah reported. Woe to the shepherd who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them. But I will take care to punish your evil deeds. There are some signs which signal irresponsible shepherds. They don't care for the flock. They don't teach their people to know about God and His law. They don't set good examples for people to follow. In opposition, they set bad examples. They don't concern for spiritual and material needs of the faithful. They don't love unconditionally. They concern only for food and meat of the fat sheep, those who can benefit them. Ezekiel 34, verse 3. They don't protect people from danger. They scatter the people directly or indirectly. Or they scandalize the people either by false doctrines or by their immoral life. Second point. The hope for the good shepherd who gather and care for the sheep. Some signs of the good shepherd are they carefully care for the flock. They teach their people to revere God and to practice His commandment. They love and care for the people. They strengthen the weak, heal the sick, and buy up the injured. They bring back the strayed and seek the Lord. They protect and sacrifice their life for the flock. They protect their sheep from all the wild beasts and from the hand of robbers and keep their ship from all dangerous areas. The prophet revealed three ways which the Lord shall do for his people. First, either God himself shall care for the flock, as Jeremiah oracled. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadows. They shall increase and multiply. Second, or he will send a special person who shall take a good care for his sheep. Behold, the day are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous suit to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. St. John in his gospel identified this good shepherd with Christ. John chapter 10. Third point. Or God shall train and send to the people good shepherds. I will appoint shepherds for them, who will shepherd them so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. The second reading. He who made both one and broke down the dividing one of enmity through his flesh. Enmity happened because of unknown hatred, lack of compassion or pride, which regard oneself or one race better than other. St. Paul emphasized two main enmities. First, between God and people. St. Paul stated, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have become near by the blood of Christ. When people committed a sin, they make themselves to be far away from God and are not worthy to be God's children. But because of Christ's blood, he wiped out all people's sin. People become clean from all their sins and are reconciled with God. Therefore, they regain their right as God's children. Second point, between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews believe that they belong to a super race than the Gentiles. There always existed a tension between them. St. Paul explained that when people are reconciled with God, they are required to reconcile with each other to Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing one of enmity through his flesh. There is one author who helped us to remember the true reconciliation when he explained that the cross contains two poles. The vertical pole represents the reconciliation between people and God. The horizontal pole represents the reconciliation between people and people. St. Paul explained the process of the reconciliation between the Jews and the Gentiles as follows. Christ abolished the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace. and my reconciled both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. Before Christ, there is a clear separation between the Jews and all other races. The Jews considered only themselves as God's people because He chose, protected, and gave them the law. All other people are classified by them as the Gentiles, which means they are not clean and cannot inherit the privileges like them. Therefore, the Jews lived separately with the Gentiles. They didn't want to have anything in common with other races. When Christ came, God's plan of salvation is extended and included people of all nations. The condition to be included is based on one faith, not on keeping of the law. Of course, Christ did not abolish all the law. The faithful must keep basic laws to express their faith in God. In order to understand what St. Paul talked about, the separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, we need to understand the structure of the Jerusalem at that time. There are three ones to separate different people. The first one separate between the Jew and the Gentile. Any Gentiles who crosses this one is to violate the Jewish law and shall be killed. The second one separates Jewish male and female. A female cannot enter the plague with a reserved for male. The third one separates between priests and normal people. Only priests can cross this wall to offer sacrifices to God. Beside the three ones, there is also a curtain, low from top to bottom, to separate between the holy of the priests and the holy of the holies, where God present. Only the high priest can enter this place on the day of atonement, only once a year. When Christ came, He destroyed all the ones that separate people with people, as St. Paul explained. For He is our peace, He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through His flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal limits, that He might create in Himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace. He destroyed not only the first wall, but all the one which separate between people and people, so that, for in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or rich, slave or free persons, we were all given to drink of one spirit. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Moreover, Christ also tore down the curtain which separates the people with God, as the synoptic reported when Jesus died. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, Mark chapter 15, verse 39, and Luke chapter 23, verse 45. From that time on, people are no longer far off from God. They can directly come to him in any place and at all times. They don't need to go to the high priest or to wait until the day of atonement. St. Paul expressed this process as follows. He came and preached peace to Jews who were far off and peace to those who were near. For to him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The Gospel. Come away by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. The third point. The dangerous tension between the shepherd and the sheep. Overworking in the apostolic mission. St. Mark reported this tension as follows. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. People were coming and going in great numbers. They had no opportunity even to eat. The harvest are many, but the workers are a few. How can the apostles meet all people's needs? How can they balance between their spiritual life and apostolic works? Sheep without shepherd. Mark reported, people saw them leaving and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. How can the church find shepherds to care for the sheep when the vocation is decreased every day? The more people become rich and advanced, the less their moral and familial life are decreased. How can the church find good shepherds to care for people? Second point, our hope. Christ is the resolution for both the shepherd and the sheep. A disciple must have some time to rest with Christ. Jesus recognized the busyness in the apostolic life of his apostles. In order to prevent them to be burned out, he said to them, come away by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. Jesus himself found a place for them. This must be an important experience for us. God doesn't require us to overwork or to be lazy. He wants us to be balanced. When we feel so tired, we must make time to rest in him, not to waste our time in useless recreation, which will make us more tireless. Second, Christ himself teaches them many things. Not only priests are shepherds, Christ is a good shepherd. He himself can teach, care for, and protect. People are today passing growth. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. For they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Application in life. Jesus is a good shepherd. Let's learn from him, trust in him, and put our hope in him. Pastor or parents, both are shepherds to care for God's sheep. Above all, a pastor must teach his people to know and to love Christ. Each of us is a sheep in God's flock. We must know Christ and pray for our leaders. When we pray for them, we also pray for ourselves. Amen.